Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. La Soirée is a theatrical phenomenon currently running at the Union Square Theater on East 17th Street in New York City. Part cabaret, part circus, part cirque, and part sideshow, part vaudeville, part burlesque, all astounding. La Soirée's international acts can include balancing duos, high-flying feats, song, and so much more. Here to tell us about their acts are Marowa and Mookie. Marowa is a hula hoop expert, and Mookie is a clown. Welcome to the Roundtable. Thank you both so much for being here.
Pleasure.
Thank you for having us.
Before we talk about each of your acts individually, could you tell me how the night sort of rolls out? What's the format of La Soirée?
Basically, La Soirée is a circus cabaret. So, you know, it's smaller than a circus. We just have a very small stage in the center, and most of the acts are solos or duos.
And it's pretty rapid fire. The acts aren't particularly long, and it's an evening of great variety.
That's right. Yes, there's not going to be more than one juggler. There's, you know, a little bit of different kinds of skills and different takes on comedy acts. Lots of characters. It's very human in the way that we just, it's a live show. We're not pretending that we're in the 1920s. We're right here, right now, looking at the audience face to face, and that night is live and together and actually happening.
And how do you come to be in it? How do you come to be in it, Mookie?
I paid an extraordinary amount of money and got the gig. I think a lot of us in this industry know each other. We either work together in various cabarets around the world, and La Soirée is one of the more renowned cabarets on the circuit, and we just, we recommend our friends who we think has got talent and would suit the show.
I'm kind of from the other end of the spectrum. I actually, I studied at NICA, which is the circus school in Australia, and Brett Haylock, who is our producer, saw me in our graduating show that we were doing and then invited me to come and be part of the show. So,
tell me about your act.
Oh, right. I am the hula hoop expert of the show. Like Mookie was saying before, everyone's kind of, it's a collection of individual acts, and everyone's sort of an expert in what they do, and then they do that very well, very quickly. And it stops and starts, yeah.
And how did you first discover this was something that you would want to do?
I did rhythmic gymnastics when I was a lot younger. And then when I was at circus school, I actually specialised in trapeze, but I did hula hoops as well. And they're just super fun and super portable, and you can do them anywhere. So I just sort of stuck with that.
And how do you put your act together, and how often does it change?
I've had a few different versions since I started working with this show, but for me, I just need to find a piece of music that I really like. And once I find the piece of music, I can usually put the act together pretty quickly.
I have watched some videos of you doing your thing, and there seems to be different hoops for different things.
Yeah.
Are they different weights or gauges, or how do you figure that out?
Yeah, it gets really geeky, like with I think jugglers are kind of similar. It's just like, do you use polypro? Do you have 36 inch? What kind of like inner tubing do you use? Like, there's all kinds of geeky things. I probably have like 6 or 7 different types of hoops with me. I'm really excited about a delivery I've got coming next week. And then the LED hoops that I use in the show, which have lots of different lights, are arguably the best available, and they're worth about $500 a piece.
Wow.
So, yeah, and they have like 70 different colour settings, and you can like program them to strobe in different times. And
is your average hula hoop that you find in a, you know, a store here or wherever, plastic, usually a bright colour, something in it that rattles, are those okay for anything?
No, they're terrible. No, they're terrible. They're really great if you're about 5 years old,
sure,
which is excellent. And I have this same conversation every day with people, which goes, oh my God, you're a hula hooper. Oh, I used to be able to hula hoop when I was a kid, but I can't do it anymore. And I say, look, just think about it. You're much taller. You're much taller, much bigger than when you were a kid. You need a bigger hoop. You can't use the one from Toys R Us or whatever because it's too small. I can't hoop with one that big. You need a much bigger one and a much heavier one. And once you can convince people that that could be possible, it takes usually a little while. But once they give it a go, they actually find, because I teach as well, and you find that everyone finds they can pick it up again and they get very excited.
Mm-hmm. Where do you teach?
At the moment, I'm working out of different studios. I've been doing some classes in Williamsburg and some classes in Manhattan at different dance studios. I'm still trying to find a permanent one that I can use, but yeah.
And at your most, the highest number of hoops you can spin at once. How many is that?
133. No more.
unless you grew a foot, then you could do more.
They're actually, you have to use different sizes because that's how you, otherwise obviously it would be, for the record you have to do it between your waist and your shoulders. So obviously there's not enough room for 100 there, but you have to layer them out. And they're heavy. They're really heavy.
As a comfort shoe person, I couldn't help but notice that you do your act in very high heels, which looks fantastic, but seems treacherous.
It was a whole new experience of hula hooping when I learned to hula hoop in high heels. That's been the hardest challenge in my hula hooping career, is working out how to do it in 6-inch heels. But it's worth it. Look great. And I've got every color of the rainbow in glitter. And I've got a pair of roller skates that are high heels as well.
So. Mookie, tell us about your act.
I'm a clown, basically. I do clown acts in the show, kind of. Yeah, no, I don't have a rainbow wig or a red nose or anything like that, but definitely.
You don't come out of a car with a lot of people who look just like you.
No, but that sounds like a great idea. No, not in this instance. No, so in the first half, I do an audience participation act and take a poor fella out of the crowd and make him look like a star. And then in the second half, I do a comedy magic act. You know, not terribly original, but the way I do it is a bit original.
That's my favorite act in the whole show. Really? Yeah, 100% my favorite act in the whole show. She knows it, 100%.
She's selling you a lot better than you're selling you.
Like that.
Mila is the one. That is the best act. If you're going to come, just come to see that. That's my favorite.
And how do you put your act together? How do you discover through training what works for you and what you're going to keep in La Soirée from night to night?
I also am very inspired by music. Most of my pieces start with music, and then my imagination comes from that, and then I put the costumes together and the tricks and the jokes together. I'm pretty good at writing jokes by myself that people do think are funny, and then of course you can only do 50% in this studio or your living room, as the case may be, but and then 50% you have to do with the crowd and what they respond to and what works, and then once that happens, then it changes from city to city because people's reactions change in different countries, and so you just listen carefully to where the laughs are and hone it and change it around, change where you emphasis on syllables and things like that. It's really quirky. What will really make people laugh in one city will not make you get a big laugh in another city, and then it was something else that didn't will. It's really odd.
Is it possible to articulate what types of things you've discovered are making New York audiences laugh, knowing that they're New Yorkers, but also people who visit the city and go to shows?
New York, that's one of the nice things about playing New York is that it's such a kind of showbiz city that you can get away with a lot of your kind of inside jokes that are for performers and such, like to make a joke about choreography or to make a joke about being a thespian and things like that. Those jokes might go over the heads in other cities. There's a real enthusiasm here for show business, and my character in particular is all that. She just wants to be in show business. So they really take to her, and that's a really nice feeling.
When in your life did you know that this was something you wanted to pursue, and how do you learn, unless it comes completely naturally, learn to write jokes?
Yeah, I started at around 12, 13 years old. I saw Victor Borge on the television and just thought, oh, yeah, it's a job. Okay, that's it. That's the one. And I just started to train a lot after that. How do you train to write jokes? I went into stand-up comedy as a teenager to learn to write. Then I went to clown school to learn how to fall down and show my underpants. I went to a school in Northern California called the Del Arte School of Physical Theater. It was very excellent. We learned a lot of craft. You know, really just how, there are rules of comedy that you don't have to abide by because clown is anarchy, but they do work. There's rules of three and there's things about rhythm and spontaneity. Craft and spontaneity. I don't know. Yeah, how do you learn to write jokes? It takes a long time. It really does. You find with the thing that's different about clown is that you're finding what's funny and unique about yourself, and then you expose that. It's different to other styles of comedy, wherein a stand-up comedy is usually a movie star or a politician or someone else. They're always putting it on someone else. But a clown is taking the mickey out of yourself and what's ridiculous about you. So it's a very vulnerable art form in those regards.
The show is front and center, stated everywhere that I've seen, not for kids. Why is it not for kids? Why is it for adults?
There can be a bit of nudity in there, and it's a little bit more risque than your Big Apple Circus or anything like that. Yeah.
It's risque, tongue in cheek. There's nothing crass or body or crude about our show. We always have tongue in cheek about sexuality. In fact, a liberal parent would not have any problem bringing their kids if they didn't have a problem seeing, you know, a little bit of nudity or this and that. Honestly, everything is done with such a nice spirit that it's uplifting at the end. You don't feel like you've just been in some dungy hall, you know. You've been to a really uplifting, fun experience that celebrates sexuality a little bit, and it's adult in those regards.
It looks like an amazing amount of fun. I hope I get a chance to see it.
The artists are constantly rotating. It's like a real old-school vaudeville show where people are coming in and coming and leaving, you know, as the artists are available. So right now is a particularly great roster. You should come on out and you'll enjoy yourself.
Thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me today.
Pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
La Soiree is running at the Union Square Theater in New York City. Links and other information are available on our website, wamc.org/roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.